Well, shall we pray first of all? Oh, Father God, we just thank you that we can come here and worship you, Lord Jesus. And we recognise that your word is truth, but we also recognise that we sometimes hear things that make us feel uncomfortable. And our passage today had some uncomfortable things in it. But we come believing that you are our God, and that you will speak to each one of us here today. So we just offer you ourselves afresh. And I pray that you would use my words, and anything that's not of you, would you discard. But that you would speak the things that you want us to hear into our hearts today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Herbert Palmer, Bert Armsby, Stanley Richard Aspland, John Thomas Atkin, Frank Baker, Thomas Barnard Moden, Bertram Leeds Thomas Barnett, Norman Henry Barnett, Rex Barwick, James Bulk. Now, the names that I've just read are a few of the young men who gave their lives in the First World War from this community. They, like many others, may be our ancestors, maybe ancestors of some of you here today. And as we remember those who gave their lives in World War I, World War II, and more recent conflicts, including Iraq and Afghanistan, we cannot forget that for some, and even some here today, today is about grieving, directly mourning the loss of a loved one, a father, a mother, a grandparent, a lover, a brother, sister, friend, or relative. And today is a time for the nation to remember and hold their pain, to recognise and remember the sacrifice made by those sent to war, and the cost of those left behind. Those who wait anxiously and those who face the searing pain of grief. Remembrance Sunday does not glorify war, but rather recalls, as the psalmist says, how in bygone days you saved us from our enemies. Remembrance Sunday reminds us of the price of peace, reminding us of the evil and the inhumanity that people can stoop to, and the sacrifices that so many made to ensure that such tyranny does not triumph. There is a price for peace for which we remember today. And yet, in our reading from Paul to the Colossians in verse 15, we read, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Peace seems a long way off as we acknowledge some of our present-day conflicts that are still going on today. And I don't just mean global conflicts, but conflicts in our homes and households too. Jack Davis, a Coldstream guardsman, suffered spinal injuries and had to have his leg amputated following a bomb blast in Afghanistan. His comrade, Lance Corporal James Hill, was killed in the explosion. Jack says, "Remembrance Day now plays a very big part in my life and always will, given the traumatic experience my friends and I went through on that tour. It's an important time to remember everyone who made the ultimate sacrifice, as well as those grieving for loved ones, but also a chance to thank the Royal British Legion and many others who do great work supporting service personnel, veterans and their families. back to our passage, Paul, of course, is talking to the Colossian Christians, telling them how to live their lives now that they have faith in Jesus. He gives them some guidelines for living. So peace is a future goal for us all to desire. And Paul is basically saying in verses 16 to 17 that our lives and the way that we live them out should witness to Jesus. To live in peace does not mean that differences in opinion are eliminated, but it does require that we work together despite our differences. If we go back to the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke about, or the best attitudes, as they're sometimes nicknamed, blessed are the peacemakers. And our working towards peace is, of course, rooted in love. It's an outworking of our love for God, our neighbour, and ourselves. In verse 15, Paul uses the word rule when he talks about peace. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. This word rule comes from a sporting analogy, which is really fun for me, that of an umpire or a referee. We're to let peace be the umpire in our heart with the decisions and the choices that we make every day. And if we think about it, the more that we can tune in to the peace of Christ in our hearts, the more we'll avoid that internal conflict in our heart. And the more that we yield to peace, we know that the decisions that we make will be in line with Jesus' will and ways. But it often takes some time to discern, doesn't it? It often takes time to tune into that. And sometimes we know in our hearts when we need to make a certain decision, but then it takes a while for us to be able to actually step into that. Today is an opportunity for us to think about our own lives and how we respond to conflict, whether that be internal conflict or conflict with another person. Are we conflict creators or peacemakers? We're called to be peacemakers, not as a one-off task, but a way of life, a way of thinking. Etty Hilsum was subjected to grotesque conditions in a German concentration camp and wrote this in her journal. I'm not easily frightened, not because I am brave, but because I know that I'm dealing with human beings, and I must try as hard as I can to understand anything that anyone ever does. And that when the real import of this morning, and that was the real import of this morning, not that a disgruntled young Gestapo officer yelled at me, but that I felt no indignation, rather a real compassion, and would have liked to ask, did you have an unhappy childhood? Did your girlfriend let you down? Yes, he looked harassed and driven, sullen and weak. I should have liked to start treating him there and then, for I know that pitiful young men like that are dangerous as soon as they are let loose on mankind. So what made Etty so compassionate? How come she didn't want to do to the Gestapo officer as she'd been done to? It seems that she could see behind that man's violence, that there was a story, and she wanted to respond with peace and love rather than as a conflict creator. But that doesn't mean that we should put up with abuse. We too are called to look at our own lives and examine our own violence, our own parts in conflicts, however small. The peace of the world can only happen one step at a time, And the more people who choose peacemaking, the more blessing there will be. Yes, it is unrealistic to expect world peace overnight, but peacemaking starts with individuals. Being a peacemaker does not mean being a soft touch. And as I said before, it doesn't mean taking on abuse or even avoiding conflict, but it's the way we handle conflict. War should always be the last resort in bringing about peace. And as we remember today, there is a price for peace, whether in war or striving for peace through other means. It involves a sacrifice of ourselves, as I'm sure some of you well know. And sometimes it ends in the sacrifice of life. There is a price to pay for striving for peace in our present and our future too. And in many ways, the instructions that we have in Colossians 3 from verse 16 to 4:1, are aimed at giving the new Christians a framework for their households. And in many ways, to live as those people of peace or shalom. We see various relationships referred to: marital, parental, and employee. And in our own lives, we might have those relationships, but we also might have additional ones, like that of a friend, a sister, a brother, church family, other family member. And in each of our relationships, there will be that give and take. As Ephesians 5:21 says, in all of our relationships, we're to submit to one another. In all of our relationships. And in Colossians 3, there is a reciprocity in the relationships too, as is fitting to the Lord. And so I think it's worth saying that these verses and the verses in the Bible, in other areas of the Bible, in our Christian history and even today, have sometimes been used in abusive or shackling ways rather than the freedom in Christ, which is at the heart of what Paul has to say and for which we heard about in chapter 2. And for that, I am deeply sorry. Additionally, as Paul was writing in the specific context of the church in Colossae and at a specific time in history, we also have to be aware that this is the way that we also have to be aware in the way we interpret these verses for living today. For example, I think we'd all agree that slavery is wrong and not something we would affirm today. But at the same time, slavery at that time was a common way of structuring society and the households at the time. But there was a responsibility for the slave owners to be just and fair, and slaves were encouraged to work as if they were serving God himself, even though that, of course, didn't always happen, and we have our history to testify to that. And again, I am sorry in the way in which our brothers and sisters in Christ have exacerbated this, impacting the rule of peace that Jesus calls us to. I remember when I was at theological college and my study buddy and I were doing an end of year skit for a review. And she said in the skit, "I don't know whether Paul wants to oppress me or liberate me." And if we read each book of the Bible as the same sort of literature, it's easy to interpret it in the same way. It is God's word, of course, and it's totally reliable. But the Bible is made up of different types of literature. And so we do it a disservice by interpreting it all in the same way. I personally think that the principle here in verses 22 of chapter 3 to the first verse of chapter 4, I think we can apply them today in that relationship between employer and employee. For those of you who find meaningful work unavailable or out of reach or evasive, or you're having conflict with your managers, or those who have employees that you manage or employ who don't seem to get it, don't seem to engage in their work, don't seem to support the calling or the mission of your small business perhaps, I want to acknowledge that Paul's words might be uncomfortable to hear. But if we are a Christian employer, the way we conduct ourselves should be exemplary. Witnessing to Jesus, treating our staff fairly with fair pay and conditions. In response to this, as employees, we're called to do our work as if Jesus was our supervisor. Yes, we might be called out of that job in the future, but whilst we're in it, do it as Jesus is our supervisor. Again, there's a reciprocity between those two relationships. The other relationship here is that of husband and wife. And again, for those of you who are going through a tough time in your marriage or relationship, or there's a particular disagreement that you're having, or a particular struggle in your relationship, or where there's been relationship breakdown, again, I want to acknowledge that these verses might be difficult. I also want to say, again, that these verses should never be used to keep people in an abusive relationship. For those who are childless or those who are struggling with disciplinary issues in your home with your kids, or have a difficult relationship with your own parents, this message might be hard again for you as well. And it's my prayer that the peace of Christ would rule in our hearts, in all of these situations, in all of these relationships, and that we would know that the Lord is near to us, the Lord is with us, and the Lord is our example in each one of those relationships. It's not easy, though, is it, to see another's perspective or to engage in healthy conflict resolution. It means that giving of ourselves, submitting to one another, and it is costly. There is a price for peace which demands a challenge to live out the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to love our neighbour both far and near, in our households and our other relationships, to love our neighbours as ourselves, to make the first move to make peace with our enemy. To act from a premise of love, even when we're faced with hate. This is both the cost and the blessing of peacemaking. Herbert Palmer Adcock, Bert Armsby, Stanley Richard Aspland, John Thomas Atkin, Frank Baker, Thomas Barnard Moden, Bertram Leeds Thomas Barnett, Norman Henry Barnett, Rex Barwick, James Bulk, and many more men, women, and children have paid a price for peace. And let us remember them today and not forget. Let us remember those involved in ongoing conflicts, both personal and global, and acknowledge the price of peace in all of our relationships. Let Christ be be our example, witnessing to him in the way that we behave. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Amen.